Good.
Okay. So, it's usur for a guy to cook food for you. Good. That's agreed upon by the Gemara. It's a din d'rabbanan. So let's get to the details. The first thing we need to discuss is just like we discussed by Pas Akum, is who does it apply to and what type of person. It's a little bit different, as we'll see for a reason mentioned very shortly. So, it seems to be a stira in Rashi. Rashi on Lamed Chesem and Aleph and Avodah Zarah says that Bishul Akum is asur midarabanan, so that the Jew doesn't habituate himself to eat by the guy, and then he'll come to eat something that is not kosher. That is one shita in Rashi. However, on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, Rashi says differently. Rashi says that Bishul Akum is usur because of chasus that will lead to intermarriage. These are two very different things. So the question is, how do we deal with these different reasons? Now, the latter reason regarding chasnas is the one that is brought by the Rambam, Hilchos Malchus Asuras, Tosos, there in Lamed Chesem Aleph as well. The Ritva, also in Masachas Tainus, also brings the reason of chasnas. And the Tosos Harid, and Daf Lamed Chesem Aleph, says that the reason of chasnas is the only reason, and that the reason that you might come to eat something that's not kosher is not even correct. So we have a strong propensity towards the reason of chasnas, and not because you might come to eat something that is not kosher. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelet Tes in Simen Mem Aleph cites the Sefer Makor Mayim Chaim. I don't know what the Sefer is, but the Makor Mayim Chaim says as follows. He says that really, it's not that there were two gzeros. It doesn't mean that first they made a gzera that you might come to eat something that's not kosher, and then they made a gzera that you might come to eat something that you might come to intermarry, but rather, it's Chad Gzeri. In the same gzera, they established that you cannot eat something made by a non-Jew because you might come to eat something that's not kosher, and at the same time, you might come to intermarry and have a sense of kirv hadas. And therefore, he explains, this leads to the two most important leniencies within Bishul Akum, which is that it's not olal shulchan malachim, it's not considered distinguished enough, and also because they might feed you something, and also that it might be eaten raw. So he explains, because of the reason that you might eat something not kosher, so that is the reason behind the hetzer to eat something that's ne'achal chai. Because if I know that it's raw, so then I'm not going to be worried that there's something not kosher, because I see it's raw, I see it's a carrot, I see it's an onion, whatever it is, and therefore that reason applies to that side of the gzera. They connect to each other. Eating it raw connects to not eating something that is tame. And then the other side of the reason, says the Makor Mayim Chaim, fits with not going on the table of a king, because that fits together, that if it's not considered important enough, so then I'm not going to want to marry you, and those two reasons issues will cancel each other out. Yeah.
The hetzer is to eat it while it's raw, or you can eat something cooked which could have been eaten raw?
So you can eat something cooked when it was supposed to be eaten raw. So the idea is that if I see that he cooked me something that was raw, I'll see that there's nothing not kosher that might have been put into it. It would be fairly obvious. Now, we're not telling you that affects how the halacha turns out. He's just telling you how the gzeros fit together logically, and it's one gzero together. Okay? This idea that it's, yeah.
Is it concerned that this food is going to be tamei, or you'll eat other foods?
That you'll eventually come to, you'll become, have a kira hadas, and eventually come to eat other foods that are tamei.
So what would the raw thing matter? What other food do you eat?
So again, he says that it's not 100%, it doesn't click together like a perfect puzzle, but again, that the two ideas are related to each other. They fit together within the reasons for the gzeros. This idea that both gzeros were established together is what Rav Asher Weiss writes in the Minchas Asher, in Dvarim and Simen Hei. Also, Rav Shechter says the same thing. Rav Shechter noted that this might be the reason for those people who are lenient regarding food cooked by a guy in a Jewish home. This might be the reason, because I'll know that there's not something tameh in the food because all the ingredients of mine are there. We're excluding mixing meat and milk together, but if I know that all the ingredients, I don't have any lobster in my home, so I don't have to be worried that the guy put lobster in. This is a cool we're going to get to later on. Now, I just have one quick comment on the Minchas Asher. So, Rav Asher Weiss writes, he has a question on the Rambam in the Parish of Mishnayos. The Rambam in the Parish of Mishnayos says that Bishul Akum is prohibited in order to keep us away from Dvarim Ha'isurim, from things that are prohibited, and that this is the idea of chasnas. And then Rav Asher Weiss asks, I don't understand. What do you mean, what are the Dvarim HaYisurim? What are the things that are prohibited? So he says it can't mean that it's talking about benos nachrim. It can't mean that it's trying to prevent us from that the non-Jewish person that you might marry is the Devarim HaYisurim, because that doesn't make any sense. Why would we talk about a person as Devarim HaYisurim? So the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos has this very funny language where he says it's going to lead you to Devarim HaYisurim, which in the end will lead you to Chasnas. And the Minchas Asher leaves it as a Tzarachin. I'm not exactly sure what the Tzarachin is. Because if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Machalos Asuros and Perek Zayin, Halacha Tes, so the Rambam is very clear. He has a two-step process. V'yesh sham shem devar macherim asru osan chachamim. The rabbis forbade certain things. Even though in their essence they're not prohibited by the Torah. And then he says one. Gazru aleim kedei lehisrachek mina akram. They made a gzeira to prevent you from becoming close to the Goyim. Ad shelo yis'arvu behem Yisrael. So you don't become mixed in with them. And then he says beis. And this will lead you to chasnas. So the Rambam himself sees this two-step process, which is pretty much what the Gemara in Lamech says, which is that they made a gzeir against Yichud, which then in the end would lead you to chasnas. So there is a two-step process here. The Dvarim HaYisurim in the Perush Mishnayos is the intermingling with the non-Jewish person, and then step two is which will lead you to marry. Yeah.
Cool to
we'll get to that when we get to housekeepers. We'll spend time on housekeepers. An exciting Indian all on its own. Okay, so, yeah.
In regard to the guy cooking in the Yisrael's house, didn't we say we don't pass him like that?
There are shittas. We'll have to get to it. It's not so clear. I mean, we don't pass him like it, but there are certain akilah. Okay, lemaisa, unlike when there was all discussion when it came to bread, whether it applied to a Muslim or not, because it's not about a zara here, everyone says, no matter what your religion is, so Bishul Akam would apply no matter what. What about the bishul of a mumar, someone who is not from? So there are three shitas that are brought, all explaining the iser, but the mishul and how it applies. So the Teferis Lemoshe, which we quoted all the way back by Pas Akam, who said that there's a difference by bread because there's no issue of a dafer tamei when it comes to bread. The issue of eating something not kosher only applies to bishul. So the Teferis Lemoshe clearly would hold that over here, when it comes to a mumar, one would not be allowed to eat their cooking because the mumar may very well put something not kosher into your food, and therefore there would be bishul akum as well. This is what the Piskei Tshuva brings here in Sifkas and Aleph, and the opinion of Rosh Hashanah Kluger in the Tov Talmud Das as well. The second reason given for not eating the food cooked by someone who is not observant is the Prima Gadim in Hilchos Shabbos in Shin Chafei. Yeah.
Doesn't that have to be a mumar? Be someone who just doesn't know?
So we'll get to that in a second. So the Prima Gadim writes in Hilchos Shabbos that a mumar is dino kagai. And therefore, just like any other areas where anything a guy does would be asur, so therefore over here as well, we would find this to be dino kagai. This is what we quoted before by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos, where he says as well that anything that a mumar does has dino kagai, even when it comes to cooking. The third mahalach given is something we also discussed before, is from the Yehuda Ya'alab in Yerodea Siman Lama Aleph, where he says that there's an isur chasnas. It's asur to marry someone who is a mumar, and therefore the Isra Chasnas would also apply as well over here to when it comes to food cooked by someone who's not from. We already noted this is not really agreed upon by everyone that you can't marry someone who's not from. Now, the Maharsham in Chelik Beis, Reish Samach Beis, Rosh Sternbach and Chilas Magos, Chelik Beis, cites the name of Chazanish as well, and the Menchas Yitzchak from Chelik Gimel, and the Ber Moshe and Rav Menashe Klein in Chelik Yud Beis and Mishnah Halachos are machmir regarding the bishul cooked by a mumar. The machmer, if you know someone who is not from, seemingly, whatever, we'll clarify that in a second, it would seem to be that they cannot cook food for you. Rav Schechter, in principle, agrees as well. However, he just thinks there's no one who's a mumar nowadays, and everyone is tinuk shenishba, and therefore it doesn't apply. But if you could find someone who's a mumar, so then, well, it could be that their cooking would be problematic as well. Someone who was once from and now not from is probably closer to what we would call a mumar nowadays. There are people who go off the derech, but someone who is born, majority of the population of Jews are people who were born not from. So tzinuk shenishba would easily be applied to them.
It would still be relevant if the people that go off the derech
It's still irrelevant in terms of people like off.
That's what we just said. That's what we just said. Someone goes off the Derech, so then that we have a greater reason to say that perhaps they have a din of a mamat. Next. On the other hand, there are many poskim who are lenient when it comes to bishul of a mumar. The Rabbadi, in Chelik Beis, in the Ori Yitzchak, says that he heard from Aaron Cutler that bishul of a mumar is fine, and there's no issue at all. So that's one lenient opinion. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted in Masoros Moshe, in Yerodei Simon and Tess, that one is not machmer for bishul from a mumar as well. And in Igros Moshe, by the Sugya by Chalav Yisrael, he's Masufa. But apparently, in Masoros Moshe, he felt, or he's quoted as being lenient in this regard as well. And Rav Avraham Yosef in Yabi Yomer Chelekei also says, because this is a Machlokas HaPoskim, and this is a Dinder Rabbanan, so therefore one can be lenient when it comes to something cooked by a Mumar as well. He cites Rivash, who says, we're only Machmer when it comes to wine. There's no Chub, we're not Machmer in any of the other areas of Machlas Asuros, only when we come to wine. And it's also in the Minchas Asher as well. And the Makaf HaChaim says this is a Machlokas HaPoskim, and therefore Bizyeved, if a Mumar cooks something, it would be kosher. Now, two other people we need to discuss is someone who converts. So in the Halakhically Speaking, in Year 7, Volume 1, they quote Rav Shechter saying that someone who converts, so they are allowed to eat their bishul that they cooked before they were Jewish, and they don't have to remaster their kalim as well, which is a kula. And they don't have to bring their kalim that they cooked when they were not Jewish. And the Sefer Hageiros Kilchasa, written by Shmuel Aryeh Stern, who's a dayan at the Bnei Brak, so he writes in Peret Ches that the kalim do need kashering, and that you cannot eat their food that you cooked when you were not Jewish. So we have machlokas as well when it comes to a convert, if they can eat their food. Finally, obviously when it comes to a mamzer, as we already discussed before, by Pasakum, so one can be lenient as well. If a mamzer cooks food for you, even though you're not allowed to marry them, it's perfectly fine. We don't make gzeros against Jews. But also, very importantly, is the union of a katan. Let's say a child cooks food for you, which is not crazy. They have one of these shows where they have like one of these cooking competitions with children. So if a child cooks you food, and they're a guy, so the Shevet HaKahasi writes in Chelik Vav, they have to be machmer. Why? Because the Shach writes in Hilchos Yain Nesach and Chuchot Dalet that we're machmer if a katan touches your wine. So he feels that there should be no difference over here as well when it comes to bishul. There are differences between wine and bishul, but for whatever reason, he feels to be machmer when it comes to a katan who cooks you food. Let's get to the first major kula, which we will discuss mostly for the next couple of days, and that is Yishuv Ne'achal Kamo Shehu Chai, and that is the Gemara on top of Lam Chesamad Aleph, which brings two shitas in the name of Rishuma Bar Yitzchak and Surah. They taught that the leniency was that there's no bishul akum when it comes to anything eaten raw. And in Pumbedisa, they taught that there's no bishul akum when it comes to anything that is not ola al shulchan malachim. And it gives examples regarding small fish and mushrooms and porridge, all these different things. So, what is the general reason when it comes to this hetzer? Why would we be lenient when it comes to something that's generally eaten raw? So we have machlokes in Rashi and the Ram. Rashi writes in Beit Sandaf Tes Zayin that it doesn't have a shame bishul. That if I cook something raw, it's not considered being mavushal. We don't consider it bishul at all. And the Ran is very bewildered by this. Why would that be the case? What do you mean it doesn't have a shame bishul? He put it on fire and it cooked. It seems to be very much mavushal. So the Ran has a different reason, and he says that it's not considered chashuv. There's no kir of hadas. So you cooked me a carrot, yashikayach. I could have eaten it raw. I don't really fall in love with you because you cooked me a carrot. And therefore, because there's no kir of hadas, that's why there's a leniency when it comes, there's no closeness between the two. Therefore, there's a leniency when it comes to something that is raw. So Tosos, here on the Gemara Lam Ches, cites Rabbeinu Tam, who says that we paskin like both shitos. We're lenient when it comes to olal shulchan malachim, and we're lenient when it comes to something that could be eaten raw. And this is the halacha cited by the Ritva, the Ran, and the Shulchan Aruch here in Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, that we have both leniencies. Let's discuss possible exceptions to the rule and how we define something that is raw. So, the first thing is something that's not brought here in Shulchan Aruch, which will be important in a second, is the Gemara in Shabbos and Daftan Aleph. Do we see the Gemara in Shabbos, Daftan Aleph? Yes? Okay, so what does the Gemara there say?
Adam Chasher, right? An Adam Chasher should be Machmer. We have a Machlokas here, seemingly between Rav Ami and Rav Nachman, regarding whether an Adam Chashuv should, a very person who's a Yiri Shemayim, a Ben Torah, whatever you want to label him, should be careful when it comes to relying on this leniency of something that is eaten raw. The Rashash, by the way, is a total different understanding of the Gemara, which makes this entire Gemara not relevant to our discussion. We will ignore the Rashash for right now. So, we have this Machlokas and Rabbeinu Chananel, the Rif, the Rush in Masechta Shabbos, Perek Dalid, and the Tashbates in Chelek Aleph all cite this. These are Gedolei HaPoskim, Gedolei Rishonim, all cite this Lahalacha, that an Adam Chashuv, someone who's, you know, a Yiri Shemayim, should be careful to not rely on the heter of foods eaten raw, which are okay for Bishul Akhmar. The Bach, here in Sifkatz and Beis, he notes that the Rif and the Rush bring this, and he asks a big Tzarachian, how come nobody brings this Lahalacha when it comes to an Adam Chashuv? What's going on here? Do we forget about the Gemara on Shabbos? So if you turn later on to Simon Kufnum Beis, so the Shach explains as follows. The Shach there is talking about whether you can go to a non-Jewish wedding. And there, the Shulchan Aruch concludes that, you know, an Adam Chashuv should try to be Machmer. And there the Shach writes that the reason is because, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch bring it over here in Kuf Yud Gimel regarding Bishul Akum? Because Yirei Shemayim already knows this. He intuits, he already knows that to be a good Ben Torah, you don't rely on leniencies like eating raw food that was cooked by a guy. And therefore, an Adam Chashuv doesn't have to be told. It's already in his DNA to know to avoid these things. And therefore, there's no reason for the Shulchan Aruch to spell any of this out. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes as well, Mishael Siyavitz in Chelek Beis, Kufman Beis, and Rav Vosner in Chelek Vav, in Simon Kuf Ches, says that a Ben Torah should be Machmer, and Adam Chashuv should be Machmer, to never rely on the heter of food that is cooked raw. Yeah.
Are Ben Torah and Adam Chashuv
changeable? For our discussion, yes. Not always, but for our discussion, yes. This is what we mean. We mean that someone who's going to be, you know, someone who wants to be a Yer Shemayim, a proper Chumrah, would be to not rely on this. Okay? So this is what Rav Vosner writes. However, this is not the Shita of most poskim. The Pri Chadashia writes in Sifkatz and Gimel that it's a machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Ami. And therefore, he says it's very clear. We don't paskin like Rav Ami. Rav Ami felt that an Adam Chashuv has to be machmer. Rav Nachman says, no, I'm an Adam Chashuv, and I don't feel you need to be machmer, and therefore, we just don't paskin like the Shita in the Gemara. That's why I don't bring in the Gemara in Shabbos, because it's not the halacha, which seems to be a very logical explanation. The Birke Yosef in Orachayim Simen Tuf in Rishon Zion says, what does the Gemara say? Who savar Adam Chashuv? That Rami felt, he himself felt that this is his Shita. Why does the Gemara say who savar? You should have just said, you know, Rami says this. Why does it say who savar? Because this is his specific Shita, and none of the other Amorayim agree with him. And therefore, it's just not Lahalacha, and this gets us out of this issue. The Prima Gadim writes this as well, the Korban Asanel there on the Rush, the Pri Toar, the Dagma Marvava, says that since Rav Nachman is brought as a Maisa Rav, to show that he wasn't Machmer, therefore, this is the Halacha, Nirach HaShulchan simply says that we are not B'nai Torah, and therefore not Machmer nowadays. So we're not Chashuv people, and therefore we're not Machmer. So you have two reasons, again, either you don't pass in like it, or we are not that great. This is why we are not Machmer for the Shita. How do we define something that is Me'achal K'mo Shehu Chai? How do we define something as being raw? Where do we look for the definition? So the consensus of pretty much almost all the poskim is that it goes by the majority. But the Daita Esau Rav Adam, if most people eat this raw, so then it's considered a raw food. And if most people don't eat this raw, then it's not considered a raw food. Next time we'll get into details of cases and certain types of food. But just today, for the general rules, it follows the majority when it comes to defining what is considered Ne'afal Kmo Shehu Chai. This is cited by the Chacham Masadim, Nirach HaShulchan. And the Darkei Shuv in Sifkatz and Gimel cites the Chuvos, not the Chuvos, but the Sefer B'nei Chayi, which is written by a Rav from Turkey, who was a rabbi in Greece in the 1700s. It's a Hagos on the tour. It has the worst printing I've ever seen. It took me a long time to figure out what he was saying, but he says as follows. He says that if the reason for Bishul Akum is to prevent Kir Hadas, to prevent you becoming close with this non-Jewish person, so then, of course it depends on your personal preference. If I like raw onions, and this person cooks, if I like cooked onions,
Let's use carrots. If I like to cook carrots, I hate raw carrots. I only eat carrots cooked. And this person, this guy, cooks me raw carrots. So now I love him very much because he has made me this delicious dish of cooked carrots. So who cares what most of the people are doing? The whole thing is all about kirv hadas. The whole concept is based on one's personal preference. So certainly, in this case, it should be based on the person. So if he cooks carrots for me, it would be bishul akum. And if he cooks carrots for you, it wouldn't be bishul akum, because the whole concept here is based on kirv hadas and based on personal preference. This is not cited by anyone in the halacha. It's a nice shekel Torah, but this is not the consensus of the poskim. The Pri Chadash and the Aruch HaShulchan say that it does depend on location there. On location. Therefore, if in China they do eat raw carrots, and in America we don't eat raw carrots, so then it depends on where you are, and it depends on the location. That certainly is a factor. So it depends on the country, could even depend on the town or the state when it comes to defining if something is eaten raw or not. Rav Vosner says that if the entire world they don't eat something raw, and in one place they do, so then we do say meaning if in this one county they eat this one weird thing raw, but in nobody place else they do, so in that one weird place we say if 99% of the population does one thing. The last thing we need to discuss is the issue of what if I have something raw, but it's the raw item is eaten when it's mixed with something else. Understand the case, right? It's a raw thing. I wouldn't eat it raw on its own, but I would eat it raw if I put it with something else. If I mixed it with, if I had a bread, okay? In that case, I would eat it raw if it was mixed with something else. So there's a Bach. The Bach writes in Hilchos Brachos in Siman Reish Gimel that any food which is not eaten raw alone, but it is eaten raw if it's mixed with something else, so it's not considered Nachal Chai. And he's talking about ginger. I don't know what the deal with ginger is nowadays, but apparently ginger is not even raw, but if I mix the ginger, or I candy the ginger, and I mix it with sugar, so then I will eat the ginger as it is. And therefore he says that if a guy would cook it, it would be bishul akum, because it's not considered ne'achal chai, since it's eaten with something else. That is the Bach l'chumrah. The Magen Avraham there argues, and the Magen Avraham says that that can't be the case. And he explains that the Gemara gives the example of salted fish. So salted fish are considered ne'achal chai, and people don't eat salted fish on its own. Salted fish is always eaten with something else. But the example the Gemara gives of something that's ne'achal chai is something that's always eaten with something else. And therefore, he says that it's clear from the Gemara that if the raw food is only eaten if it's mixed with something else, it's still considered ne'achal chai because it's not eaten when it's only eaten when cooked. This is the shita that's cited by the Dagon Maravava and the Gilyon Marasha here in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah Brura as well cites the Magen Avraham there in Hilchos Brachos. The Yad Ephraim in Siman Reish Gimel there in Hilchos Brachos questions the Magen Avraham. He doesn't like his example about fish. Maybe there are types of fish that are already eaten alone, and he questions it. However, this is we come out of the halacha that even if something would only be eaten with something else, it's still considered ne'achal chai, and if it's cooked, it would still be permitted if it was cooked by the guy. Let's give two nafkaminas for this case. The first thing is spices, okay? Spices are not cooked, they are dried, and therefore, spices are also not eaten on their own. If I take this spice and I mix it with something else, I would eat it. But on its own, if a guy cooked something with spices in it, it would still be considered something that would be ne'achal chai, according to the Magen Avraham, according to the Bach, so it would be considered that would be usher. And Lamaisa, Rishon LeKluger, and the Chalkas Yaakov, and the Aruch HaShulchan all say there's no issue with spices. Spices are not something you need to be worried about when it comes to bishul akum. The other thing is something I was bouncing around in my head. I was wondering about eggs. Okay, eggs are ingredients in ice cream and also with creams and certain types of desserts. If I take eggs and I add them to a type of dessert, so does that mean now that eggs become something that are ne'achal kmo shehu chai because they're eaten when I mix with something else? I don't know. That would turn out to be a nice kula, right? Because eggs are, people here eat ice cream, correct? Right? So you're eating eggs that are raw that are mixed with something else. So we have raya that eggs are something that are ne'achal kmo shehu chai when it's mixed with something else. According to the Magen Avraham, I don't know. Turns out we have perhaps a kula. I'll tell you why I don't think it's correct.
because Nechal Kol Shulchai follows the way that it is. Once I take the eggs and I mix them into the ice cream or the whipped cream, so then it's not Kamo Shehu anymore. I don't see the egg. The egg is gone. I don't notice that I'm eating eggs. It's butzel to the rest of the food. It's only, I think that it's only considered Nechal Kol Shulchai if I still eat it as it is, if it's still Kamo Shehu, as an egg. But once I don't see it's an egg anymore, so then I can't consider this Nechal Kol Shulchai. The last thing is the issue with, yeah.
Spices are the same thing when you mix together
or not. Why? You can see the spice. You can see the spice. I don't know. You have pepper or something like that. You can still see it. I don't know.
You can't see salt, that's for sure.
What?
You can't see salt, that's for sure.
You can't see salt. It's true.
Salt.
So you want to go the thumb around my
egg.
I
mean, salt may dissolve.
Not sure salt.
Salt may dissolve. Depends on the scenario.
Salt is out.
You put salt in something.
I don't know. Start off the end of the eggs. Okay, you have to tell me what you think about the eggs.
The eggs are not Nika.
The other thing is regarding unripe fruit. Okay? So the Gilyan Marasha here, in Sif Aleph, so he is masufik about raw fruit, because when it's raw, it's not edible. So therefore, maybe it's not considered, obviously if the food is it's not raw anymore and it's ripened, so then there's nothing to discuss. But can we be mechalik within the same species? Can I have a type of fruit that's not edible as it is now? It's not ripe, and if I cook it, it'll become usser. Okay? People like to grill pineapple. Okay? Or now it's very in vogue to grill watermelon. Okay? So I have an unripe watermelon or an unripe pineapple, and I grill it. So now would that become something that is bishul akum? Because as of its own, it's not eaten. So the Gilyan Marasha is mesupuk. The Pritohar says that as long as the food is not ripened, we have to be machmer, and therefore if the guy grilled unripe pineapple or watermelon for you, so that would be asur, that would be bishul akum. On the other hand, Rav Ozan writes there in the same piece in Chelek Vav, that based on the Isser V'Hetzer, that the regular derech is to eat it raw, and you follow the regular derech of the species, you don't look at the way that the species looks at this specific moment in time, and therefore would come out l'kula, also according to Rav Sternbach and Chelek Gimel, that if the guy were to grill watermelon or pineapple for me that was unripe, I would still be allowed to eat it because it is in its essence, nechal kmo shehu chai.